gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? It's time for the final countdown. The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's rock.
That's right. You know what time it is. Guess who's back? Back again. It's been a little while, but I'm back. Hey, it's time for a return episode of Beyond the Paint podcast. It's me, Ty Storm and Norman Stewart. I tell you what, I got a guest here across the table from me right now. I'm uber excited for y'all to get to meet. I keep her behind closed doors, but it's time to let her loose and time for y'all to meet her. But the question is, are you guys ready? Because if not, you got a few short seconds away before it's go time with Beyond the Paint podcast. We're about to be back. Let's turn up and have a good time. Well, it's time. The return episode of the Beyond the Paint podcast is officially here, dropping right now. Well, we're recording it right now. We're not dropping it yet, but we're recording it right now. But I told you I had a special guest for you, and I think it's time to introduce her. So at this time, I'd like to introduce my beautiful wife, the one I call my lady, Miss Sierra Stewart. Hi, babe.
When we first met, you were wearing a smile. You took my hand.
Probably helps if I unmute you.
Probably so.
There you are.
You're my
babe,
right-time gal.
This is a big step for you. Mm-hmm. You are on the microphone.
Here I am.
It is time for the Beyond the Paint podcast. Welcome. We'd like to welcome our live studio crowd, which is no one. It's just you and I. Because we are recording this at... Well, it's 10 o'clock at night. We should probably be in bed, but we're not. We're going to record this episode. So, babe, say hello to the crowd.
Hello to the crowd.
Well, I tell you what, we have been talking about doing an episode for a while. It's been crazy busy. Life has seemed not to slow down since we got married last October, October 22nd. And, we finally tonight, we're driving back home from, took cattle out to grass, put a mailbox up, and then we decided, hey, let's do a podcast. So we decided to do a podcast. So
you decided to do a podcast.
I decided to do a podcast. My people have been missing me. So it was time to come back, you know. But there's some big life changes that are happening. We're going to discuss that a little bit later on. And, man, people just want to know what makes me tick. Well, this is what makes me tick. The person sitting across the table from me right now, my beautiful wife. And I guess we should start out by talking how we met, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to start or do you want?
Oh, no, you can tell the story.
I mean, because there's two different sides of the story. There's your side and there's the truth. So we can just go from there, okay? So
we all know how you fib a little bit.
No, I don't fib. That's one thing. I don't lie to my people, okay? Uh-huh. My listeners, I do not lie to, okay?
You ain't got to lie to kick it.
But I'll tell you what. We met a couple years ago. 3 years ago? Is that right? Three?
I don't know. Is it?
2020. Yeah, it'd be 2020. Yeah, because COVID was just coming around. Yeah, it was 2020. And January 14th of 2020... And we were, what, right? Was it January 14th?
Sounds right.
there's no one here to correct me. So
sure.
We were at Guthrie, Oklahoma at the International Finals Rodeo. And she was there with her mom, who does a goes to a old timers reunion, which the bunch of the old school IPRA, or how they say IRA, cowboys and cowgirls get together and reminisce on the good old times. And she was there, and I was there doing PR work. I had been there for a while doing the showcase, I guess is what you call it. I did the barrel man contest, and I did the comedy act side of it. So I was there hanging out, you know, rubbing elbows, meeting people, just trying to get jobs pretty much. And anyways, a good friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, which I didn't know was a mutual friend of ours, but Jacob Wallace was up at the Roper's Cantina during the first performance of the IFR. And he got me up there, and we sat there and ate mountain oysters and drank beer. And he invited this girl up to come hang out with him that night. And anyways, little to know, it was Sierra that walked up into the door. And she was on a date with Jacob, and I was on a date with a 40-some-year-old lady. And anyways, we got to chit-chatting across the table, kind of saying hi, stuff like that, introducing ourselves to each other. And but didn't say anything else the rest of the night, I don't think. Did we? Did we say anything else the rest of the night besides hi?
Friday night, no.
Yeah, Friday night we didn't say anything.
No, I was not on a date either.
Yeah, whatever. Potato, potato. And
actually, I'm just going to correct you. It was 20. It was 2021.
No.
Yes, it was.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
It was January 15th.
Whatever.
2021.
Whatever. Okay. It don't matter. It don't matter. But anyways, she was on a date. I was on a date. Neither of our dates were going very well. And Jacob, I love you. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, I love you. Okay. I want to say thank you for introducing her to me. And yeah, so on. But for anyone that knows, for anyone that wants to know, I did not steal her from him. Okay. I did not. I just politely took her from him. A few months later, okay. But
a few months later.
Yeah. Anyway, she Saturday night, she came back up. And
you was not there. You was on a date Saturday night, too.
Yeah, but I was up at the Roper Cantina still. You came up Saturday night, though.
I came up Friday night.
You didn't come up Saturday, though?
No.
Are you sure?
Because you were on a date with Dump Truck Girl Saturday night.
Don't call her that. What if she's listening? I don't remember what her name was.
Hello, Dump Truck Girl.
Yeah. Anyways, I a girl that I met on Tinder met up with
Tinder.
Better than Grindr. And but anyways, I met a girl on Tinder, and she came to the IFR after I ghosted her for a few hours and decided that she wanted to come see me anyways. And anyways, she came and, yeah, she drives a dump truck for a living, and she chewed Copenhagen, and when she walked through the door and had Copenhagen out of her lip, I thought, all right, I'm not swapping spit with you. But, yeah, so, anyways.
But I did see you Sunday.
You did see me Sunday, because there's, for those of you that don't know, the IFR, the International Finals Rodeo, is a four-performance deal. They have one Friday night, one Saturday night, and No, that's wrong.
They have one Friday.
Two Saturday. And everyone's going to hear the AC working in the background now. But one Friday, two Saturday, championship Sunday, correct? Is that right? So I did see you Sunday. I saw you Sunday at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever. Potato, potato, it don't matter. And anyways, I think we said hi again.
You actually talked to me that day.
Yeah, I think we just kind of shot the crap a little bit, chit-chat, nothing too great.
Yeah, you're flirting.
Yeah, I was flirting, whatever. You don't even know what flirting was, honey. I didn't even pull my moves on you yet. But anyways, Sunday comes and goes, and I think I hit her up on, I think we matched on Tinder. Did we match on Tinder?
Yeah, I think I was scrolling on Tinder as I was sitting up there Friday night.
And you saw this big sexy beast.
And I think I scrolled past you, and I... Just the friends friends I know, people I know, I automatically swipe right. And I'm pretty sure.
Wait, do you still swipe right on them?
I don't have Tinder.
That's a good answer. All right, continue on.
So I think I was there that night and I was swiping. Anyways, I think you came across and I think I was like, oh, I know him. He made fun of me at a rodeo a few weeks ago. Anyways, I think that's what it was. And then you messaged me on Tinder later.
Yep.
And said, I'm so sorry I didn't save you from Jacob and
Christian. I cannot believe you just said that. Oh my.
Trying to pull your moves in there. So.
Yeah. So I.
Sorry, Jacob.
Yeah, things weren't going well between her and Jacob, and so I said
we weren't even talking.
Oh, okay, whatever. And anyways, I slid in, made my move, but we did not. I did not realize that she had seen me multiple times before. The summer before, I had done rodeos for Tyler Kijak with TK Pro Rodeo down there at AJ, Oklahoma. Anyways, I did a lot of rodeos in the northeast, north central area of Oklahoma, doing a bunch of ACRA, IPRA deals. And anyways, she had came to a couple of them because her friend circle competed at our rodeos that I was doing. And anyway, so I found out that my wife was secretly stalking me.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways... it's kind of funny now because I guess at one of the rodeos, I don't remember it, but, she tells me that one of the rodeos I called her out. It was Jay, right? Was it at Jay? Was it at that Mid-America deal that I called you out?
I think you mentioned something. I think you kind of like, you wasn't talking to me, but you were like over in my area and then saw me. I think it said something about being on my phone or something. I don't remember, but I do remember the pasture roping in Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
You were at the
pasture roping?
Yeah, you called me out on that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
And then you talked to Kason a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, so she came to Chelsea. For those of you who don't know, the Chelsea Lazy V105 is what they called it. Anyways, we got invited out there to put on a rodeo, and it was literally out in a pasture. And for those of you who have never been to a pasture roping, it is the craziest thing in the world. I mean, you're literally out in the middle of a pasture. It's cowboys all get out, and we bucked bulls, broncs, all that out in the open.
In the pasture.
Mm-hmm. We were the wildest show in the West.
Had a couple bulls running away, but...
Yeah. And it was like, I mean, like, it gave it, like, that real Pendleton feel to it, you know? Like, being out in the big old open, and, yeah, man, we had people lined up with trailers, chairs. I mean, it was crazy. And we had a couple of bulls go haywire, and a couple of broncs sneak through some camping sites. It was cool, man, but it was cool. And anyways, yeah, I called her out for being on her phone, and... anyways, got to interact with Kason, and which is our child. And anyways, yeah. So left there, went on with that. We continued chit-chatting on Snapchat. And we talked on Snapchat for maybe three months. 3 months. I never asked for her number. I just kept it.
He did not ask for my number.
Because to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
I never thought I had a shot. So I always thought, okay, here's another girl I'm going to get friend zoned. Okay, because that's just,
yeah,
that was just kind of my,
about it.
Yeah, whatever. That was my thing is I always got friend zoned. Okay. I wasn't cool or I wasn't bad boy enough to be able to break through the friend zone. But I was a lot of girls like, oh, he's just my best friend. Worst spot in the world. Anyways.
That's okay.
Yeah. So I thought she was going to friend zone me. So we kept it on Snapchat. And I told her, I Snapchat her one day and said, I want to take you on a date. Let's meet in the middle. And so she said, okay. She was down. You agreed to it, right?
Yes, I did.
You agreed to it. And I said, all right. Well, I said, how about we meet in Oklahoma City? Because I didn't look on the map. This is how stupid I was. Okay, I didn't look on a map. I didn't see how far it was from her to go to Oklahoma City, for me to go to Oklahoma City. I just thought, okay, well, that's, you know. Yeah, she goes that way, I go this way. Yeah, we're in the middle. Perfect. Well, I drove 4 hours, and she drove 8 hours. And
it's about an hour and a half out of 45.
Yeah, but the way you drive, it's 45 minutes, okay?
That's all right.
Yeah, you get that heavy foot from your dad.
I made it slow that day.
and so I told her, I said, I'll set up the date. I'll take care of everything. And we'll go from there. And I tell you what, I was the most nervous person in the world.
And the night before, I believe we were supposed to meet. Because that night, you said, Thursday night, you said, oh, I will send you all the information in the morning. I'll send you the hotel info and yada, yada, yada. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, cool. How is he going to send me this info? So finally, after what, 3-4 months of talking via Snapchat, I said, hey, here's my number to send me the info just in case you might need that.
Yep. So I got her number and I didn't have to ask for it. So guys, let me tell you, that is called game. Okay. When you are given a girl's number that you don't even ask for, that means you got sick game, okay?
Not when you talk to him via Snapchat.
Huh?
Not when you talk to him on Snapchat for 4 months.
It's been so long since I've done a podcast. I can't find my... There we go. I got game, okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Calm down, calm down. Thank you, thank you, thank
Clearly
you.
Clearly not when I had to give you my number.
Yeah, I didn't ask for it. You wanted to give it to me. You're like, oh, I need this man in my life. This man.
I was just wanting a free meal.
I want this man. You just want a free meal, whatever. So anyways, we were going to meet in Oklahoma City. I was a nervous wreck. I told her, I said, I'll schedule everything. I'll send her the information. We'll go from there. So I did. I booked a hotel at the Holiday Inn. I booked two rooms because I was nervous that if things did not go well after night number one and she wanted to go to her own room, then we were good to go. So I went ahead, paid for two rooms, and we went to On the Border for our first date. And
for dinner that night, yeah.
For dinner that night, we went to On the Border, and we went back to the hotel, and we sat on the couch and talked till like 1-2 o'clock in the morning or so.
I think it was a little later than that.
Yeah. The second night was super long. We stayed and talked forever on the second night. But anyways, potato potato, it don't matter. I'm not going to tell you what happened behind closed doors, okay? All right, let me just tell you that. Thank you. Thank you. Anyways, nothing happened, okay? Anyways, after the first night, we woke up the next morning. We went to the zoo. What else we do? I think the zoo took all day, didn't we? Then we went to Kettleman's, right?
No. Oh my gosh, you don't remember?
What did we do the second night?
We went to the zoo.
Uh-huh.
We went to the science museum.
Oh yes, we went to the science museum.
We went to lunch at the barbecue place, and you dang near took me out in the middle of the restaurant because I tried to pay for lunch.
Potentially.
And threw my card across the room.
There's no video evidence of that, so that's not true.
Then we went to the Cowboy Museum.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, that's right, because we went to the Cowboy Museum. And for those of you that don't know and never been, you guys need to go to the National Cowboy Museum there in Oklahoma City. It is so cool. Yeah, it was all sorts of stuff to go and see. Like, they had a bunch of little small cities inside the museum. And, man, it was super cool.
Town.
Yeah, town, small towns, you're right. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, and then after that, we went and ate supper that night. To the steakhouse, right? Kettleman's.
No, not Kettleman's.
Where we go? It was a steakhouse, though, right?
The newer one over kind of by the water park area.
Yeah. Super high dollar one. Okay, so I got to... True story. Okay. I've been sheltered in my previous life, okay?
Clearly.
Like, my family, we never went to steakhouses, okay? So I took Sierra on this date, and... We get the menus, and I look at the menu, and the cheapest steak they got on the menu is a $53 steak. That's the cheapest steak. I'm like, oh my Lord, how do I explain to her? I can't afford all this, but it's cool.
You were rich when we first got together.
I was not rich. I was just single, so I still had money.
True.
And
And now I eat steak. I'm not no salad chicken girly. I mean, steak.
Yeah. So we ate steak and had delicious steak. And then that night we went to the bar. Sorry.
Yawning after 10 o'clock. It's past my bedtime. But we went to the bar. What was that bar called? Cowboys. Yeah, Cowboys. It's the bar there in Oklahoma City that has the...
Bull ride.
Yeah, the bull ride and stuff like that. And real cool deal. And I knew that some of the guys fighting that deal. And Zach was fighting. And anyways, so her and I, we went and danced and had fun. Met up with a couple people that we knew. And Jimmy was there. I got to meet Jimmy.
Jimmy Dean.
Shout out to Jimmy Dean if you're listening. And which probably not, because Jimmy Dean, I don't think Jimmy Dean has a smartphone. But
I think he does.
Anyways, yeah, so we went dancing and watched the bull riding. And that is when I accidentally two-hand chucked Sierra out of my way. A bull hooked Zach.
Yeah, you did.
Zach and Bo were fighting that deal. And a bull hooked them both down. And I don't know what I thought I was going to do, because
I think you threw me toward the arena.
Yeah, I could have been. I don't remember.
Think it was like necessarily back.
Yeah.
Behind. I think you threw me toward the arena.
Yeah. Whatever. Potato, potato. It could have been either or. But yeah. So I accidentally shoved her because I thought I was going to jump in and save the day. But I'm not no bullfighter. I don't know what I was thinking. And anyway, so yeah, that was our first date. But I left for Oklahoma City to go on this date with Sierra. And didn't tell my parents. Like, I told my parents I was going down to work a rodeo that a good friend of mine, I told him that Brandon Wren was doing a rodeo down in Oklahoma City and he needed me to come play music, which Brandon is not going to call me to come play music. But my parents didn't know Brandon, so they didn't know that, okay? Anyways, yeah, so went down, came back, and parents asked how the bull riding was, and I... So, it was great. It was good.
No, I don't think they got really to that point. I think you were just so smiley when you got home. They said, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
I guess they didn't even really have to say. I think you just kind of outed yourself.
Yeah.
As soon as you pulled in and got home.
Yeah. Well, I told my mom that I met someone special. And Zach's still special to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah. So, that was our first date. And then we continued to chit-chat through Snapchat and sometimes text until St. Patty's Day. St. Patty's Day, you were in Oklahoma. I was up here in Kansas, mm-hmm. And I FaceTimed you.
You did.
And I said, "Hey, sugar toots, you want to be my girlfriend?" And you blushed and screamed and cried and said, "Yes, you're the most amazing man in the world." And I said, "Thank you, baby. Thank you very much." And anyway, so we became boyfriend and girlfriend, and the whole nation cheered and clapped because they knew that there was a new power couple. Okay, new power couple. Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, it happened like that. Okay,
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it happened like that. Anyways, what's it matter? And then it's been downhill from there.
Basically.
Yeah, but no, it's been good. It's been good. Been dating. We dated for a year, a little under a year. And then I proposed to you. Do you remember the day I proposed to you?
Yeah. Do you?
No.
I knew you were proposing to me. Like,
no, you did not.
I did.
You had no clue.
I did.
No. The day I proposed to her,
I knew the week, like a whole week before.
No, you had no clue.
Yes, I did.
No. Anyways, the day that I proposed to her, I scheduled a photo shoot together. One of our good photographer friends, I hollered at her. She had taken pictures for us before. And I asked her to take pictures for us for the engagement. And so she hollered at Sierra and was like, "Hey, girly, like, want to do some, like, sample photo shoot, stuff like that? Like, will you and Ty be interested in doing like a couple's photo shoot?"
So it was that moment that I knew that something was going on that week, because also my cousin Courtney asked if I wanted to go get my nails done a couple times, and I'm like, she literally just told me she went and got her nails done, and she's like, "I need to get my nails done, let's go get our nails done," and I'm like, I don't think you need your nails done.
I don't remember that exactly, but anyway, so, and I had to correlate with,
the day Kara messaged me about the pictures, I knew what was happening, when it was happening, and the day of, I saw Kason pulling in down the road.
Well, he was not driving, but...
Well, yes, I saw
Lori
pulling in down the road, bringing Kason.
Kason's biological dad's mom, so Kason's Nana, I guess. I would have been quicker. Kason's Nana. Kason's Nana, he was over there with her that day, and I had moved down to Oklahoma and whatnot, so I had correlated with her to come back and get Kason because I wanted Kason to be there for pictures for that moment. And so we went out to the horse pasture, and we were dancing, and she was taking pictures, and I spun you, and I dropped down one knee. And then I said, hey, dude, you want to get married or something like that? I don't remember exactly what I said.
Sure, buddy, let's go.
Yeah, we said, sure, buddy. And she said, let's go to Vegas. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, bud. Well,
we did not go to Vegas
because I was afraid that if we go to Vegas, my parents would kill me because we did not have a traditional wedding. And let me tell you what, after seeing all the cost of putting on a wedding, we should have went to Vegas. So as a newly married...
Maybe not Vegas, but no, maybe like...
Courthouse. So if there's any couples on here listening that are about to get engaged or recently engaged or thinking about getting married, go elope. Save yourself the money for a better future of setting up yourself as a family and go elope. Because weddings cost way too much. Anything that has wedding in front of its name, whether it be photographer, DJ, wedding cake designer, whatever, they cost too dang much, okay? And they can charge that because people are going to pay it because they want pictures, they want stuff to memory and stuff like that. And which I am not complaining about what our photographer costs.
They also do a lot of work. So.
They do. And our photographer that we had for the wedding, she is and was awesome. And she does amazing work. And our pictures was awesome.
Shout out to Kylie Wears Photography.
Yeah, Kylie Wears. Hey, Kylie, for the right money or a free session, I could hook you up with a sponsorship deal on here, okay? We could thank our sponsors. Kylie Wears. Call 918-760. I don't know the last four digits of her number.
760.
Right? Isn't 918?
So, oh, are you talking about my number?
No. I was going to, like, as a joke to, like, Kylie. I was going to say,
Kylie's number.
For all your photographer needs, call Kylie at.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not going to say her number over live broadcast.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we got engaged, and I bought Dally, the puppy, our cowboy corgi, mm-hmm. And I had her hidden in Greg's office, because at the time we were working for Sumner Performance Horses, working for Greg and Karen.
Summers.
What'd I say?
Sumner.
Sorry. I have a speech impediment. And anyways, we were working for Greg and Karen at the time. And,
polo horses.
Yeah, working polo horses. And anyway, so I decided that I was going to get her a puppy.
Now, I did not see Dylan. Dylan was secretive. I don't know how he does that.
Yeah, well, you were in the shower. You were in the shower when Dylan showed up.
Oh, okay.
So it worked out good. Yeah, I called one of my good buddies, Dylan Shelton. Shout out to you, Dylan, and DG and Bucking Bulls. And I called Dylan and asked him if he'd go down to McAllister, Oklahoma, which was an hour south of him. And if he would pick up this puppy that I had bought for Sierra. And because I thought, man, if she tells me no in the ring, she'll at least say yes to the puppy. And then that's at least one yes, and that's close enough. And luckily, she said yes twice and got Dally. And
I had to say yes to Dally.
Yeah. Well, luckily, you said yes to me first. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
But anyway, so that's how Dally came in our life, our little puppy, who's no longer a puppy now. She's a grown woman, mom. So got engaged and married October 22nd of 2022, 10/22/22.
Mm-hmm. So you could remember it.
Yep. And we moved up here in May of 2022, back up here to Kansas. Mm-hmm. And been rodeoing, working,
farming,
heavy ranching, a little bit of it.
Sail barn.
Yeah. We do a lot of different things, but so that's kind of how we got into here today. And for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you'll have read by now that at the end of this run this year, my summer run, I'm going to hang it up, clowning.
From clowning,
hang it up from clowning. I'm still going to pack the barrel.
For the time being.
Yeah, still going to pack the barrel for a few events, freestyles, stuff like that. But decided that it was best to take care of the family. You know, I'd come back and we run too many mama cows and run too many acres of cropland for me to be gone 5-6 weeks at a time. And so I decided that to come home, take care of my family, be around my wife, my kid, have a 7-year-old boy, Kaysen, who, he needs me, and I want to be there, and my wife, she wants me, sometimes, but it will be different, but I'm excited and nervous, and it's something we discussed for a long time. It wasn't no spur-of-the-moment decision. It is something we have discussed for 5-6 months or so, and I felt like it was best, but, we are beyond thankful for what Rodeo has given us so far. Mm-hmm. Without Rodeo, I wouldn't have met her. Mm-hmm. And
I wouldn't probably even liked you.
Yeah. Well, explain that, hon. Why is that? Tell everyone. Hold on. Tell everyone what you told your mom when you brought your mom to Mounds, Oklahoma while we were dating.
You're cute.
She said, Ma, I'm dating the rodeo clown.
Yeah, it sounds.
Shout out to Kool-Aid. The Jammers. That's all I'm drinking.
I thought you were cute.
Yeah.
Funny. At the time, you were really sweet and thoughtful and caring at the beginning of this. And now it's like all that went out the window. And it's just like, oh, forget about me.
Not true.
Slam the door in my face. Forget I'm coming out the door type of deal.
Not true. Look to your left. What are those?
Flowers.
Who got you those?
You did.
Thank you. Okay. That's the end of that discussion, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of that segment. But anyways, yeah. Yeah, she's...
Is that why you got those for me today? So you could do this?
No. I just spur of the moment. I got done checking pasture fence. So I decided, hey, I'm going to go buy you flowers, Twizzlers, and a Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Shout out to Pepsi. Pepsi, if you're listening, hit me up with sponsorships, all right? Even though I'm not clowning no more, I still drink a lot of your drinks, okay? But, so I'm going to step away from rodeoing at the end of this year. And, but...
Clowning.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I needed to word that better. I'm not stepping away from rodeo. I'm stepping away from clowning. I'm still going to be involved in rodeo. We got some things coming that we're working on and that we're hoping to do for 2024 and 2025 and maybe start some stuff. And rodeo-wise. Yeah, it's work in progress. And trying to find some venues, arenas. And so I'm excited. Man, I like I said, rodeo's gave me so much. I want to give back. And, man, there's so many young, hungry people in this game that just needed an opportunity.
Still doing freestyles and bull runs and stuff.
Yeah.
For the time being.
Yep. I'm still going to do a few bull ridings, you know, stuff that requires me just to do walk and talk and packing the barrel and stuff like that. And freestyles, man. That's one thing I won't. I can't give up freestyles. I love rodeo. Don't get me wrong. I love rodeo. I enjoy being in the barrel for bull riding, stuff like that. But like freestyle bullfighting, being in the can for those purebred fighting bulls and just getting hit and hearing that sound of the thud, the pop, like it gets my blood going. And actually just thinking about it now, it gets my juices flowing. Like I so badly am excited. Here in
Couple months.
We'll be at Ardmore.
September?
Yeah, but I'll be in Parrington, Texas in August. Prayers, by the way, shout out to Parrington, Texas. Prayers for them. They got hit with a tornado pretty bad last week and messed things up pretty bad there. So I'm hoping they can get things put together in time for the rodeo. And that's a one-day rodeo, a one-day bullfight deal. So I'm excited to get to go down there and pack the can for that deal. And but yeah, then we got Ardmore September. Man, that's such a prestigious event.
Love Ardmore.
Yeah, all the greats have been through there. And it's cool, man. Like I said, if walls and bleachers could talk, to hear the stories of the legends that walk through that place is phenomenal. So I'll be getting to go back to Ardmore. I think it's like September 15th, 16th or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's like September 15th, 16th. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And then that October, I'll go back out east.
Tennessee.
Yeah, go back out east to Tennessee. And I will finish my season with Danny Hendricks and with the Hendrick Rodeo Company and Sons. And if you know, you know. And anyways, yeah. So go out there, finish out my season in October. And then I'll apply for a few finals for associations. And if I get those, great. If not, you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of guys that are deserving of it. And so, yeah. So then I'll step away from the clowning side of it. And but I'll be back down in Guthrie in January at the IFR, hanging out, seeing friends. And like I said, because I got people in the rodeo world that have become family. You know, they're really close to us. And so, like I said, excited for what the opportunity holds for later on after this chapter. And then it also gives me an opportunity to help push my wife and pursue my wife of her rodeo dreams. So working on some new horses for Barrels Breakaway, and let you start chasing your dream. So, and I'll just be the buckle bunny and the groom. Mm-hmm. Saddle your horse, groom your horse out.
I love having a groom. It's so nice.
I've gotten pretty good at it, haven't I?
Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Would you say I'm a top hand?
I wouldn't say top hand yet. You still got a little ways to go, but you're getting there. You're doing really, really good.
Yeah. I appreciate
You've
it.
You've come a long way.
I appreciate it. I like to thank you for that. Greg. Greg's helped me out a lot with that. I've got plenty of chewings from Greg on not doing stuff correct, so I've had to do things correctly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But I tell you what, if you would have asked me 5 years ago if I would have been involved with horses and stuff like that, I would have told you no. And here I am, filled with my life with horses. But yeah. So let's reminisce a little bit more. Okay. This has been fun. I've enjoyed this. This has actually been fun for me. Okay. Getting to crack open.
We really haven't got to spend time together.
Yeah. That's the thing is rodeoing. She stays home, makes money, and takes care of the family and all the animals here at the farm. And I travel. And so we really don't get to see each other. She works a 9-to-5 job and I'm hardly ever home. So getting to do stuff like this is fun. But, hun, in our time together, all the rodeos we've been to, mm-hmm. what has been your favorite rodeo? Rodeo or bull riding?
Rodeo or bull riding?
Yeah.
That's a hard one. That is putting me on the spot.
Yeah. See, that's one thing you don't like is being put on the spot. So here.
I don't. I hate it. Rodeo or bull riding? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a really tough one. Wait, man.
They're all good. They all are good in their own way. They all have
their flaws.
They all have their flaws. They all have their excitements about it.
Yeah.
Ardmore. I do like Ardmore.
Yeah.
That's a freestyle, though.
Yeah. Okay. So, but favorite event. We'll just say favorite event.
Favorite event.
Yeah.
Favorite to event. Watch you in.
Yeah. Favorite event to watch me in?
I think it would probably have to be freestyles. Ardmore. And then the one in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. Yeah, Logan Roddy put that one on, mm-hmm. and I don't remember what the town it was, but yeah, we were in Arkansas.
We were just talking about it the other day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
that was a really good one.
Yep. Yeah.
You thrive for being in the barrel in the freestyles, and you get so excited.
You remember how nervous I was about Ardmore? Man,
you was like sweating bullets.
Yeah, yeah. I got Ardmore 2 years ago. The crew down there, Frank Newsom, got a hold of me and asked me if I was interested in doing that event. And then he passed my number on to the head lady that's in charge of all the hiring. And anyways, he called me and we chit-chatted. And I told him, I had people that had went to bat for me and said that I would pull my weight in the barrel and I'd protect them. And so they gave me a chance and it was cool. It was cool to get the chance. I got to work with Andy Burrell, who Andy is a legend of the game as a bullfighter and as a barrel man. And I became good friends with Andy North. And I'm actually packing one of Andy's barrels. Well, it's actually one of Sean's barrels, a Sean Caldwell barrel. Shout out to Dad, Sean Caldwell. We love you. I'm telling you right now, if you need a barrel, if you're a young rodeo clown or even an old rodeo clown, if you're a rodeo clown needing
a barrel, and you probably don't even need another barrel, you just want to get a new barrel.
I'm telling you, if you're not in a Caldwell Creation barrel, you're missing out. Okay. You can go buy these knockoffs or whatever you want to do for cheaper money. Okay. But I'm telling you, the best ride in the game is with a Caldwell Creation. The harder you get hit, the smoother it rides. And it is awesome. And I tell you what, like, I've taken some nasty hits. I've taken some nasty hookings. And if it wasn't for my Caldwell Creation barrel, I would not be feeling as good as I am right now. And that's thanks to Sean, because, man, he's someone that he doesn't just build the barrels to make money. He builds the barrels to help protect the guys and make the game better. He is in this to make the game better. And that's why he donates and spends his time and sponsors stuff for the IFR showcase, for the Barrelman contest. That's why he goes there for the entire weekend and talks to these guys. Like, that's how him and I first met. We met at Guthrie, I think the year that maybe her and I met, maybe the year before. First year going down there, I don't remember what the year was, but myself, Jason Farley entered. TJ Williams was there, Jack Johnson, Nigel Harvey, John Griffith. There was like 6-7 of us guys there that entered that deal. And man, Sean came down and I was packing a different barrel that Garrett Riles made me, which the very first barrel I ever made, or the very first barrel I ever was in, I ordered online. Okay, I don't even remember who made the barrel, to be honest with you. But now I use that barrel. It's a steel barrel. It weighs 320 pounds. Okay. At the time I weighed like 170, 165, 170 when I got started in this game. I don't weigh that now. But, anyways, I was packing around a 300 pound can and I went down to Texarkana, Arkansas and, entered the scooter or not, Joey Hash Brown. That's what it was. Joey Hash Brown Hackett, Barrelman Invitational. And there was three guys that showed up to that deal. Nigel Harvey, John Griffith, and myself. Anyways, we did that deal. I packed my steel can, not knowing what the heck I was doing. I had never been taught how to get in a barrel. It was like my first event ever. I drove all the way down to Texarkana, 9, 10, 11 hours, however far it was. Got the crap knocked out of me, okay? I'm telling you, like, I got the brake speed off of me. Anyways, Nigel said, hey, hop in this barrel. You'll like it. Well, it was a Caldwell steel barrel that Nigel had gotten from a guy that won the IFR showcase that Sean donates a barrel to. And man, even though it was steel and it was still heavier, It was such a better ride. And you can ask any of those guys that was around. The difference between me day one and day two was night and day. And anyways, Garrett was there and he had an aluminum barrel. And I thought, well, I'll try the aluminum barrel. The aluminum barrel weighed 130 pounds. I thought, that's so much lighter than a 300-pound barrel. Anyways, I went with that barrel. And then I met Sean. I went ring around the rosy on the story here.
Yeah, I'll bring it backwards.
Yeah, sorry. I'll bring it back in. But met Sean that next year at the IFR. And, man, I wasn't even packing one of his barrels. But he was still giving me advice. He was still helping me. He wanted me to get better. He wanted to up the competition level. And so by doing that, he wanted to help me up my game. And that way it was a better show for everyone. And be there for these bullfighters. Because he genuinely cares about the people in this game. And
he does. He tries he tries to explain and help. And
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. He is someone, I promise y'all, he is someone I will bring on the podcast. Y'all got to meet him. Y'all got to understand where he came from, where he started. He is one of the greatest human beings. I speak for, I think, everyone in the game. They love Sean.
We call him a rodeo dad.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually, I'll just go and tell you how special he is to us. When Sierra and I got married, we were trying to decide who we want to be our minister, to be our ordained, to do our wedding. And we have our church ministers and stuff like that, but we wanted something that meant something to us. So I called Sean, and who we call Dad. I called Dad, and I asked him. We asked him if he would go and get ordained to do our wedding. And, man, he could have said, no, I don't want to, or I'm not really comfortable talking in front of a bunch of people. Or like, he could have made a million excuses. And he said, I would love to. I would love to. And he took the classes. He took it serious. He didn't just do it to get the piece of paper and go up and say, well, you two are married, and the power invested in me. I now announce you husband and wife. He took it serious. He read this book. He read the Bible. Made good points. And anyways, he came and he did our wedding. And he did awesome. He did awesome. I go back and watch videos of the wedding. Because I'll be honest with you. Wedding day, I couldn't tell you what he said.
I have no idea. I don't even hardly remember
yeah,
the wedding day.
Yeah, it just something. Everything happened so much, so quickly. I couldn't tell you exactly what was all said, what happened. But going back and watching videos and stuff like that, I now understand what he said. And anyways, he did awesome. And it meant so much to us that he was willing to take that step and do that for us and come and stand up at the altar with us on our wedding day. Anyways, like I said, Dad, we love you. If you're listening to this, we absolutely love you. I'm going to bring you on this podcast because the world needs to meet you, needs to know you, and understand how you work. And so anyways, if you need
a barrel. And we hope to come down soon.
Yeah, we will be down very soon.
We're trying to make it down soon.
Yeah.
To come see you.
Yeah, but anyways, if you need a barrel, go ahead and call Sean because, man, I'm telling you, he understands the game. He studies how the hits and all that work on a barrel. And he's made my life. He's made me enjoy freestyle bullfights because I'm in his barrel. I thrive for these hits. I thrive for these Portuguese Mexican fighting bulls to come and smoke me. And because
if you ain't getting hit, I ain't getting excited.
Yeah. Which is crazy. You know, like everyone, well, let's just, we'll use that as our next talking point, hon. Has there ever been a point, like even when we were first dating, was there ever a point that you were nervous about me in the barrel?
When we were first dating or in general?
In general.
No, not until Arkansas last year. When, don't know why he decided to book a freestyle bullfight the week before the wedding.
That's right. I did it the week before our wedding.
The week before the wedding. I said, you better not get hurt. Anyways.
What happened?
Big old bull with long horns.
It was a stag. It was Cody Webster's black and white face steer, his stag.
Mm-hmm. It was. And got up in his barrel, got a horn in his barrel a couple times. Anyways, left a big old bruise on his forehead. Anyways, I think
swelled my eye shut, didn't it? It swelled my left eye.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that one was kind of rough. But I was like, eh, he's fine. When he popped up, I was like, eh, he'll be fine.
I didn't know if I was
fine. But I saw you kept grabbing your head, so I was like, crap, he busted his head open.
Yeah,
I think that's really the only time. Any other time, I'm like, get hit. Or if I'm like, go to the bull.
Yeah.
Or if like you're not getting hit, I'm like, that was boring.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like the crowd, like I ask everyone at every rodeo I go to, every bull riding that I go to, every rodeo I go to, when it's time for the bull riding, I always tell the announcer, I said, it's time to find out what kind of true rodeo fans we got. Who's here cheering on the Cowboys? And when I say that, you'll hear like a few claps here and there, you know, nothing big. And I said, well, who's here cheering on the Bulls? A few more people were like, yeah, you know, because everyone's like, oh, we want to see big ranked bulls. And I'm like, all right, well, who came here to watch the rodeo clown get hit? And that's when everyone. I mean, the place goes crazy. I'm like, y'all need Jesus, okay? If you just cheer for me to get hurt, y'all need Jesus, all right? And
Southern woman accent.
Yeah. I'm a Southern black woman, you know. Come on now. And anyways, man, people love to see wrecks. It's just like NASCAR. Everyone loves to see wrecks. And I prefer to take the hit in the barrel because I'm safe 95% of the time. Where my guys outside the barrel,
they got no protection.
Yeah, and you know, like I mean, they got the padding on them and whatnot. You know, the vest that sits on their chest and protects their rib and stuff they have on their legs. But if they get hit just right or stepped on or whatever, they can break a leg, an ankle, elbow, arm, whatever, and seriously hurt them. Where I got a better chance of taking the hit and not having an injury, you know, like I might get a concussion or get my neck kind of hurting or, you know, my back or whatever. But the chances of me getting hurt are much smaller than the chance of them getting hurt. So if I can step in and take a hit over one of the other guys taking a hit, I'll do it every time. And I've always kind of told myself from the get-go, if I've been a firm believer, there's two types of people in the barrel. There's people that are barrel men. And there's people that are just there just as a prop. Mm-hmm. And I've always told myself that I'm not going to be there just to be a prop. I want to be there. I want to be in the action. I want to help the guys. And, because there's some times that we go to rodeos and, yeah, there might be two or three bull riders, okay? And there might be events where we go and like the like PBR, like in Dickinson, you know, where we bucked over 40 bulls, you know? And I'm telling you, when your blood's flowing that much adrenaline's going through, and you're fighting 40 bulls, it is exhausting. Okay, so if them guys can make their rounds and get to my barrel or use my barrel to help save their legs or rest their legs for even just 15, 20 seconds, that it gives them 15 to 20 seconds of breathing time they wouldn't have if I wasn't there. So I always told myself, I'm not going to be a prop. I want to be a safe island of safety. I want to be there. I want to get involved in the action. Mm-hmm. But you're about to say something.
No.
No, you weren't about to say something?
I'm just saying, most rodeos, you don't really... There's stock contractors and stuff that don't really want to be in the barrel. So rodeos, you don't get a lot of barrel action. You get more fence action.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Definitely the bullfights and bull ridings.
That is true. There is rodeos I go to that contractors ask me to stay out of the barrel or put the barrel back. For whatever reason, I can get a whole nother argument on that. There's some guys that say, get that barrel out of here. I don't want my bulls looking at it. Get them out of a spin. It's going to mess up their deal, you know, whatever. And I can honest to God say that in my 7 years of being in the barrel, and I've seen thousands of bulls a year. There's two bulls that I can say, because of me in the barrel, I messed up their out. I messed up their outing. Whether it be, I thought, for example, a couple weeks ago, I was in Tennessee, Gallatin, Tennessee. No, I was in Madisonville, Tennessee. That's where I was at. I was in Madisonville, Tennessee, and a calico paint bull came out, and... Anyways, the guy was starting to come off to the side going into the well. And I thought, well, he's going to be off here in the next jump. So I picked up my barrel, started moving in. When I picked up my barrel, the bull saw it, swooped back to the other side, swapped. Well, it got that cowboy back up into the center. And I honestly, God, I'm a firm believer that I'm the one that changed that bull's direction. So I helped the bull rider out, but I didn't help the bull out. But there's only one other instance besides that I can say that I altered that the way that bull was going to go. Most of the time, them bulls are going to get there, get into their deal, and whop, 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 and get going, you know? And so, like I said, I can get in a whole other argument, and it can be another 45-minute long discussion over being in the barrel and how I think it's important. But we also have to realize that we are in a point of the game now where we're in this new age where people don't necessarily want to use the barrel. Bullfighters don't want to use the barrel. They're scared of it.
I think they're just not necessarily scared of it, just don't know how to work a barrel. Hasn't got taught to work the barrel.
Yeah.
I think a lot of newer guys now are just solely fighting and don't even think of the barrel in there.
Yeah.
And just totally bypass that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. And that's, you know, like I said, there's some.
You got a handful of guys that do know how to, I mean, they thrive on the barrel.
Yep. Yep. I got a few guys that I work with throughout the summer that, they love it when I'm sitting there and coming in with the barrel and say, hey, I'm 10, I'm 10 out, I'm 15 out, I'm five, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. There's guys that eat that up because they know that I'm right there. Mm-hmm. And if need to be, they can come and grab me and roll me the rest of the way in or whatever. And, so like I said, it's cool. I've always enjoyed it because, man, I've always been a fan of bullfighting, whether it be cowboy protection, freestyle. I've always been a fan of it because of the art of it, the dance of it, the being able to control a 1,800-pound beast's mind and body and getting to change your body direction to control their body direction. Like, I've always loved that. But I've never been athletic enough to do that, okay? So me being in the barrel is kind of like me getting the opportunity to be a bullfighter. But yeah, so there's that. Sorry, I went on my barrel man rant there. But there is, it, like I said, it to me, it's sad. It's truly sad that there's not more guys wanting to use the barrel because there is a lot of young, hungry barrel men that want to get involved in the barrel. But there's also guys that I can say this confidently. There's people that say they want to be barrel men or be rodeo clowns in the barrel. But when they get hit the first time, they get punched in the mouth the first time in that barrel, man, their attitudes change. They get scared. Okay. There ain't nothing to be scared of. You're safe 95% of the time. But that's anything in life. That's anything in life. I can get hurt walking across the street going from the courthouse over to work or whatever. You know, like there's always risk anywhere in life. But like I said, that is what it is. But anyways, we kind of went way off topic. We were talking about your favorite event, and then we went way sideways. Mm-hmm. But I'll agree with you that Ardmore is probably one of my favorite events I've done. Man, I've gotten to travel so much. I've gotten to do bull ridings down El Paso, Texas. Gotten to do rodeos up in Rodeo Alaska. Shout out to Frank Koloski and the Rodeo Alaska team. Rest in peace to Dan Fowley. We just lost Dan Fowley a few weeks ago. Dan passed away unexpectedly, and man, he was such a good dude. That's one person, hon, I wish you could have gotten to meet was Dan Fowley. You would have loved to meet Dan. He was such a good human being. Anyways, he was the voice of Rodeo Alaska, and he'll be greatly missed up there. He was family up there. So, but yeah, like I said, it's been cool. It's been the greatest 7 years of my life. Who would have ever thought? Starting out doing that that deal for Ethan, that Moto Rodeo deal, clowning that deal. I never would have thought I would have gotten to where I was at now. And so it's cool. It's cool. And it's been such an awesome opportunity. But like I said, I'm not stepping away completely. I'm still going to do a few bull rides, freestyle bullfights, stuff like that. But I'm going to come home, take care of my family. And 10 years down the road, if it changes, then it changes, you know, whatever. But that's enough about me.
10 years down the road.
10 years.
Is that the number you just picked?
Yeah, just 10 years. Mm-hmm. Random number. Might be 25.
Five.
Two. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Like I said, we got other things on our plate. Like I said, we want to get you back in the circuit, get you going on barrels and breakaway, and see what you can do. I'm going to let you chase your dream. And shoot, Kaysen, he had his clowning debut on Friday. That, man, that was truthfully one of the coolest experiences ever. My 7-year-old got to come out in the arena, and he clowned the mutton busting with me. He was my junior clown, and I will share a video on Facebook. Go to the Beyond the Paint podcast Facebook page, and I'll share a video on there of him clowning. Man, he was dancing. He was having fun. I got to dress up just like me, and man, I think it made his year, made his life, it made his day. And he says, Ty, he says, I need autograph sheets. And I said, huh? He says, I need autograph sheets. He said, if I'm going to be your junior rodeo, or if he said, I'm going to be the clown, he says, people are going to want my autograph. He says, so I need autograph sheets. And I was like, all right. So I talked to his mama, and we were going to get him autograph sheets. So we sent Grandma to Walmart to get those printed off.
Got 100.
She came back with 100 of them. So if any of y'all need an autograph sheet for my boy KB, hit me up. I'll send them out. They're $10 a pop. No, I'm kidding. But he enjoyed it. He
was over the moon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyone that came up wanting pictures with me after the rodeo or before the rodeo or during the rodeo, he'd come running up. You want me in there too? I'm the junior clown. Yeah, KB, they want you in here too, Bubba. Go ahead and get in here. But yeah.
They blast just going all over the place.
Yeah,
he did. Talking to people, taking pictures.
Yeah, yep. Hun, what are you excited about for next?
What are you excited for next?
I am excited that I'm stepping away from the clowning game. And so on the Beyond the Paint podcast, I'll get to drop some secrets about the game. We're going to bring out some hidden truths about how people really feel about some people. All right, I'm going to break it out right here. No, I'm kidding. Or am I?
You're kidding.
Bom, bom, bom. But what's one thing, as a rodeo clown wife,
okay,
what's one piece of advice you'd give to another rodeo clown wife? Got anything good? Hit him with some knowledge, baby. Hit him with some knowledge.
I don't really know right now.
Don't
ask questions.
Just
go along with it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
What's been the biggest challenge for you as a rodeo clown's wife?
Biggest challenge?
Yeah, biggest challenge. Because it's not easy.
I don't know.
It's not easy being Rodeo Clown's wife.
Being gone?
Yeah.
You having to talk to everybody and their sister?
Sometimes their stepmama too.
Stepmom? Cousin?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I don't know. Which, last year, I mean... We pretty much went with you last year.
Yeah.
This year is really only year you've been gone all spring.
Yeah, we've tried. We have tried to travel as a family, and we did for most of last year. I think you only missed a couple events, 2-3 events with me.
Yeah, and just a few. Yeah. I think the rest of the this year I think I've gone to 2. I went to the first one in Georgia, and then Washington.
Brunswick. Yeah, my hometown rodeo. So you went to one that was 18 hours away, and you went to one that was 3 miles away.
Yeah, I think I just went to the one that was 3 miles away because I ran. So
yeah, you did, and you had a really good run. You got to run the hometown rodeo. How was that?
It was good. It felt good.
Nerve wracking.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, man. For those of you that are listening, and I got friends on here that they know exactly what I'm talking about. competing or clowning or doing anything in your hometown is the toughest thing in the world. You know, there's a country song. I don't remember what country song it is. I don't know the name of it. I don't know who sings it. But the line is, you'll always be 17 in your hometown. Now, I don't remember what country song it is, or the new country or whatever, but you'll always be 17 in your hometown. And that's honest to God, the truth. And it's tough because if something happens in your hometown, if a mistake happens or whatever it may be,
everybody knows.
Everybody knows about it. And it's your hometown. So anytime you're home,
everybody knows you.
Every time you're home, every time you're walking around town, they're going to be
you
like,
you have a working mic today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just had my hometown rodeo last weekend. And Friday night, I had Troy Goodridge as the announcer. And Troy is phenomenal, amazing PRC announcer. And Troy and I, man, we messed around for 45 minutes, an hour, doing sound check, just chit-chatting, playing music, you know, whatever, talking over the mic. My mic was working great. It sounded great. We come out Friday night. I get introduced into the crowd. And I'm coming out to the arena. I'm about to hit him with my first joke, get the crowd's attention, get the energy up, set the tone for the night. And my microphone. Hey, Art, ready to rumble. And I'm like, oh, this microphone's not working right now. Are you kidding me? Well, the wire in my headset to my microphone, it broke. Nothing I could do about it. Just freak deal.
That's I booed him. Yeah, I did boo him.
My wife booed me.
Little piece of advice, don't ever be afraid to boo or give constructive criticism.
Yeah.
I booed you.
Yeah, she booed me. And
I said, boo, you suck.
And it was so frustrating because it was back in my hometown. And I want to do good because everyone's talked about, oh, man, we hear you're doing so great out there. Man, we hear you're making noise. Like, everyone's kind of hyped me up. So I wanted to show them how good I truly was. And I didn't get to say five words. Mm-hmm. And my mic quits working.
He sucked.
Yeah. So this guy must suck, you know, type of deal. Anyways, went and got my backup microphone, which was the very first microphone I ever used. It's a Phoenix. And if you look Phoenix wireless mics up on Google, you can't find a good review on it. Okay. Everyone talked about how bad they suck. Well, this old cheap mic that I bought for like $200, it's never let me down. So it got me fixing the pinch, got it working. Next day, Saturday, I got my mic, got a new headset on, got everything working.
Had plan A, B, and C.
I had three sets of microphones up there in the announcer stand. And I told Troy, I said, if microphone A fails, we're going to B. If microphone B fails, we're going to C. If C fails, I am quitting in the middle of perv and you're on your own and I will walk out. Anyways.
Plan A worked.
Yeah, plan A worked. Didn't have to go to plan B. It worked out great. And we had a great performance Saturday night. The crowd came to have a good time. And yeah, but hometown rodeos are toughest because if something happens, you're going to hear about it. And Saturday before the rodeo, I probably had 15, 16 people come up and say, oh, you going to have a working mic tonight? Oh, it was kind of nice not hearing you talk. It was nice when you were muted. You know, stuff, just people just trying to give you a hard time, or, you know, or you try to do an act or try to do anything. And people want to mess with you to see how you can handle, you know, with people messing with you, or like even an act, like when you ask someone to help you with your act and they start helping you without the act or with the act, and you turn around, do something, and you turn back around and they're gone because they thought it was funny if they ran away from you and left you during the middle of the act. And it's just crap like that. It doesn't happen when you're 12, 13, 14 hours away, you know, because people come, they want to be entertained and go on. But
please pause.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, I mean, we had our challenges, but Friday night, I was pretty frustrated with how the performance went. I was really frustrated with how I did. Saturday night, I felt like I got redemption. It was awesome. The crowd was into it. The crowd wanted to have fun. We had a record-breaking crowd in Washington, and it was good. We got to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Washington Rodeo. So it was good. We were happy. I was happy to kind of go out on a high note with my hometown.
We all got to participate.
Yeah, I got to watch my wife. And that's probably the coolest thing. I mean, I got to clown. But to be honest with you, the entire night, Saturday night, I had it in the back of my mind worrying about my wife's run. Sierra was going to run barrels during the performance with her gelding Romeo. And I don't know why I got nervous, because I know they were going to do great. Romeo is as sure-footed as they come. He always takes care of her, and she always does a phenomenal job. But, you know, you just always kind of want, you know, you want them to do good. And they laid down a really good run. And I don't remember what it was. Anyways, laid down a really good run. Just a little bit out of the money. Had a slight slip on barrel number two. But take that slip away and we're right there in the money. So we were tickled pink. We were happy. It was a good night. And so anyways, we got to go out on a high note. And it was fun. It was fun. But yeah, so anyways, well, anything else you can think about, hon? This has kind of been a fun podcast. Get to reminisce.
For tonight, no.
Yeah. We might have to do like a segment two.
Segment two.
After we get a few hours of sleep.
Segment two, I'll interview you.
Oh, interview me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Are you writing down questions?
No, not yet.
No? I'm kind of nervous. I don't like being interviewed. I'm more the interviewee. Interviewer.
Hey, that's the opposite.
What?
I don't like that. You do it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, you know, I don't like
talking public. Yeah. Public speaking. I don't like public speaking.
You've done good here.
Yeah. Surprised.
Round of applause. But, yeah, I just get used to, I guess, talking on the mic. Because
you've kind of stole my thunder.
I did? Tonight?
Yeah, you've talked the whole time. I'll just, you know, bobble in here and there.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
You did really good. great for first podcast.
Yeah,
back.
It's been good. I think we got to talk about a lot of things. And truthfully, it's been nice to talk to you. Like I said, we don't really get to talk much. Mm-mm. But on the road, I mean, we talk, but we don't get to talk, you know. Besides, we talk business or bills or...
Working.
Yeah, work, cows, stuff like that. But horses, we don't ever get to talk. Yeah, but... anyways, it's been cool. I've enjoyed it. I'm super blessed that rodeo has blessed me with many opportunities. Blessed me with meeting you, getting you in my life, getting me to have Kason in my life. You two have been the biggest blessing in my life.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for bringing KB in my life. you're cool, but KB, he's great. You just hit your knee on the table?
No, you stepped on my toe.
Oh, sorry. My bad. So, anyways, I think we're going to cut it there. And
it is way past my bedtime.
Yeah, it's way past bedtime. It is now 11 o'clock. We've done this for an hour and 15 minutes. So, with that being said, we're going to close the curtains down to this episode of Beyond the Paint podcast. Like I said, I'm back. I'm going to really work hard on putting out more episodes. I want to get back on here.
I've been trying to get him to get this out. And
yeah. We're going to... I want to bring...
down on.
I want to bring in... guys from the top of the game. I want to bring newcomers to the game. There's a lot of young, hungry clowns, bullfighters, rodeo athletes out there that I want y'all to meet and introduce to y'all. And so I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on bringing guys out that you guys need to meet and up-and-comers in the game. And guys, keep your eyes out for. So.
Or if you have any ideas.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody you would like to see.
Yeah. If you guys want to see me interview someone,
or hear, I guess, or hear, not seeing, I guess you're hearing.
Yeah, I'm working. How I want.
We need to do like a live Q&A.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. So, anyways, hit me up on the page, text me, message me, whatever. You know how it is. But yeah, that's gonna close the curtain down for this episode of Beyond the Paint podcast. We'll catch y'all soon. Toodaloo. I'll take a look at me. I'm just a clown, and on my face. Now where I'm from, I've paid the cost to hang around. So take a look at me, I'm just a clown. The Joker stands in the middle and turns.
Cause sometimes you know it's better to be thought of as a fool. Or take a look at me, I'm just a clown. And on my face I wear a frown. I've paid the cost to hang around. So take a look at me, I'm just a clown.